The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parshas Vayeschanan. In the middle of the Parsha, we have in Dvorim, Vav Pasuk Dalet, the first parsha of the Shema Yisrael. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and we are after Eis Hashem Elokecha. In that parsha, it states, "Vishinantum levanecha v'dibartu bam." You shall teach your children, and you shall speak to them in these words. "Vishivtecha beveisecha," when you are sitting in your houses, "V'lechtecha v'aderech," when you are going on your way, "V'shochbecha u'kumecha," and when you lay down, and when you get up. This is one of the psukim of which we learn out the very important positive commandment that you shall teach your children. You shall teach your children Torah. And as it's brought in the Brais and Masechta Kiddushin of Chavtes, that it's a mitzvah on a father to teach his son Torah. From these psukim also, we also learn out many halachas in regards to lilmed atzmai, that a person who teaches himself the qualities and the ways of learning Torah for one himself. Now this mitzvah is a prime mitzvah. First of all, as the seichel, as logic tells us, because if we do not teach our children, so then where will they know divrei Torah from? And if someone doesn't know divrei Torah, so how will he ever come? The Torah will be forgotten, and how will he ever come to do mitzvahs? Mora says, "Leila matalmud kedem." You should always give priority to the learning of Torah. Shahat Talmud maybe l'day ma'isa, because Torah brings one to deeds. So logic itself tells us that this is the kesher haderis, this is the bond which keeps the generations together one after the other from the time the Torah was given on Har Sinai, in order that each generation will know Torah. But besides that, the sages and the Torah have given great importance to this mitzvah. And this we can see from the fact that it's placed in the first parsha of the Shema. The first parsha of the Shema is a very, very important parsha. And right after the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, that we are commanded to love HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all of our souls and so forth, it states the mitzvah, "You shall teach your sons." The word Veshinantum is not a common word. Veshinantum levanecha. And there are two meanings. One meaning is it comes from the word Sheni, which means a second time. Mishnah, which refers that when you teach your son, you should not only teach him once, but Veshinantum, you shall teach him many, many times. Second meaning, a second shadish in the word, and this is what Rashi brings from the Sifri, Shinun. Shinun means chidud, sharp. So either way, what it is telling us, that you shouldn't teach, the mitzvah of teaching your son's Torah is not something that you should fulfill purely on a superficial basis, purely functional. But you have to teach him over and over, and with a clarity and with an understanding, in order that he'll know what he's learning. Like Rashi brings from the Sifri, "Bishinantum levanecho, loshin chidud hushia mechudodim beficho." The Torah must be clear and sharp in your mouth. And if someone asks you something, you shouldn't stammer or think have to wander, wonder, or stammer, Ela Emele Miyad, but you should be able to answer him immediately. So this is the what we learn from the word Vishinantum. It's not enough just to teach a simple meaning to the child. This again also refers to when we learn with ourselves, but we have to go over and over again. The Bal Yishkak, so it will never be forgotten. And so they understand with a clarity exactly what is what it's all about. Unfortunately, today, many times we teach children, or even what we learn ourselves, so we do it in a purely functional matter, mechanical matter, manner. And that's not the mitzvah of learning. The mitzvah of learning is lohovin, to understand. Whether we learn with ourselves, or whether we learn with children, with our sons. In the old days, for example, in Lithuania, when there were the chadorim, a cheder, the children would come and learn. It was customary to learn something over many, many, many times. Not once and not twice and not three times, but over and over and over again. This was very customary. Like the Gemara brings that you cannot compare someone who has studied something meoponim 100 times to someone who studied something 99 times to someone who has studied something 100 times. To go over and over and over again. And not long ago, I, with a few members of my family, had the opportunity to be in Cleveland. We had the great privilege to be by Rav Gifter, Telzer Rosh Hashiva. And my son David was asking him questions about the Lithuanian Chadorim. And he told him that they taught the children Chumash in a way, this is was his exact language, that they would never forget it the rest of their lives. They taught them Chumash in a way that they would never forget it the rest of their lives. And this was the truth. I had the opportunity many times to meet old people who hadn't learned from the time they were 10 years old. And they were 70 years old then, or 80 years old. So they hadn't learned for 60 or 70 years. And still they could say over by heart what they had learned in Cheder. That they would never forget it the rest of their lives. So this is what it means, Vishinantum, both Mishnah, over and over and over again. It's never too many times. We don't have that concept today. In general, in the secular schools, you don't have that concept. You study something once or twice or three times and finished. Torah, Chazorah, has to be 10 times, 15 times, 20 times, 25 times. The fact is, today you tell people something, and if you tell them a second time, they say, I already studied it. Why do I have to hear it again? Especially when you come to Torah, because its depths are endless. And not only will you remember it more, but you keep getting a greater clarity and understanding in it. And therefore it's Vishinantum, from the word Mishneh, over and over, or from the word Shinun Chidud, in order to understand sharply and clearly what is being said. Livonecho, you shall teach your sons. So from here we see the mitzvah to your sons. The Gemara brings another pasuk, which is also in Parshas Vayeshanan, a little earlier in Parshas Vayeshanan. It's in Devorim Dalet, pasuk Tes. Rakishom elachol shmo nafshich umayit pen tishkach es advorim asher roa inecho upen yesurim elvavecho kol yemei chayecho. Guard yourselves closely lest you forget everything your eyes saw on Har Sinai, and lest you remove it, it is removed from your hearts all the days of your life. And you should tell over these things, make these things known to your sons and to your grandsons. See, here the Torah is telling us that Kodesh Baruch Hu didn't want us to forget what we learned on Har Sinai. And therefore we shall make these things known to our sons and our grandsons. So here it adds grandsons. So the Gemara brings that just like a person is obligated to teach his son Torah, he's obligated to teach his grandson Torah also. Then Rashi brings from the Sifri that the Sifri says Levonecho Eilu Atalmidim. This doesn't necessarily refers to sons. It refers to disciples, students. Motzina b'chol mokum sh'atalmidim kurim boni. We find all over that disciples are referred to as sons, as it states boni matem l'shem alakechem. And Rashi brings Bnei Anavim, that the Nevim, those that studied by the prophets, were called Bnei Avim, Nevim, the sons of the Nevim. And the same thing he said, that Kishem Shetavdinim Kruim Bonim, Shenamar Bonim Hashem Atem Lashem Alakechem, Kacha Rav Kori O Av. That the Rav, who teaches, is called Av, a father, as it states, Avi, Avi Rechem Yisrael Elisha, referred to Eliyahu as Avi, my father. So, had it said Vishinantum, the mitzvah Vishinantum Levanecho is not limited to your sons, or Ulevanevanecho, or to your grandsons, but to Afilu Bnei Haveroi, Afilu, the children of your friend also. One is obligated to teach all the sons of Israel. If that's the case, why did the Torah say bonim? So the Gemara says, lahadim bonim levnei bonim, ubnei bonim levnei chaveri. That the first priority is to teach your own son. You must teach your own son, or if you can't yourself, then you have to hire a mamlamed, hire a teacher for him, send him to a good school. Then your next priority is your grandson. After that, you're obligated to teach whoever you can. This said it states that the Talmidim are called sons. Why is this? This is based on a Mishnah in Masechta Bo Metzia, where it states, Oviv meviu lidei olam hazeh, v'rabbi meviu lidei olam habo. Your father brings you into this world. Your Rebbe that teaches you Torah, he brings you into the next world. And what does this mean? It means that when it comes to the physical world, you have a physical father. When it comes to the spiritual world, you have another father, a spiritual father. To give a little more understanding to this, the Gemara brings a brayso in Masechta Nida, Daf Lamed. But the Gemara says, Gimel Shutfim Ba'odim, that man has three partners. When man is born, there were three forces that participated in his birth. Oviv, Imai, V'Akorish Baruch Hu. His father, his mother, and Akorish Baruch Hu. And then it explains what each one contributes. The father contributed, and it brings various things. The father contributes, for example, the bone structure and so forth. The mother contributes the blood and other vital parts of the body. The five things that the father contributes and the five things that the mother contributes are physical. Kodesh Baruch Hu, he adds 10 things into the fetus. And this is spiritual. This is a non-physical entity. So therefore, there are three forces that participate in contributing to the birth of the embryo. a father and a mother, they give the child whatever he needs for this world. But a Kodesh Baruch Hu gives the child what he needs for the next world also. When someone teaches Torah to the child, he's becoming a partner to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If someone feeds the child, so then you're becoming a partner to the father and mother. You're sustaining the child in this world. But when someone teaches Torah to the child, then you're becoming a partner with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in which he is enabling him to acquire the next world. So that's why the one who teaches Torah is called a father, and the child is called a son. Actually, the Rambam brings in the Perikei of Hilchus Talmud Torah that from here he learns that we are obligated to honor and fear our Rebbe. He says, "Kishem shodem mitzuv bechved ovi v'yirosei." Just like a person is commanded in the honor and fear of his father, kachu chai bichved rabbi v'yirosei yeser me'ovi. So then, logic dictates that he would be obligated in the honor and fear of his Rebbe even more than his father. Sure, because we do not have a specific, we know that you have to honor your father and mother, and we know that you have to honor any Talmud Chochem, any sage in Torah. But we have no specific source to tell us that you have to honor your particular Rebbe more than any other sage. So on this, the Rambam brings there is a source. We learn it from the fact that the Torah commanded us to honor our fathers and mothers. He says it's a kal v'chomer, because if you were obligated in the fear and respect of a father and mother that merely brings you into the physical world, then how much more so will you be obligated in the fear and respect to your rabbi that teaches you divrei Torah, because he's bringing you into the spiritual world. Shavi mevi lecha elam hazeh, v'rabbi shalom dechochma mevi lecha elam habo. Because your father brings you into this world, and your rebbe that teaches you wisdom brings you into the next world. This is the reason why he's called the father and they are called sons. Something very interesting that I heard from my good friend Rabbi Meller. He's presently in Johannesburg, but this I heard last year or the year before from him. And that is, we are called Bonim LaKodesh Baruch Hu. Bonim Atem LaMokom. We are called sons to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That everyone knows. Why are we called sons to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That the usual answer is because we're so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He took us as his own nation. He made us into sons. Because every human being is a son of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So why are we called sons? We're closer to him. That's not the truth. That is not the reason why we are sons to HaKadosh Baruch Hu any more than any other nation. The reason why we are sons to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught us Torah. V'hatalmidim kruim bonim. And someone who HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches Torah to, or anyone teaches Torah, then he becomes a ben. And this is what the Sifri says. Because when the Sifri here brings this example, that the Bonim are called, that the Talmidim are called Bonim. So one of the examples it brings, because it is written, Bonim Atem LaShem Elokeichem. The Sifri is asking, why are you called Bonim? It must be because HaKadosh Baruch Hu called you Torah, taught you Torah. In other words, all the nations are sons to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because he created all of them. But to Yisrael, that he also taught Torah. So then he didn't only give them this world, he gave them the next world also, an extra dimension. Therefore by them there's the extra dimension of ben, of a son, which others don't have. This is a very wonderful observation. But this is what the Sifri is saying. Rashi brings that posuk. So he said that since Vishinantam Levanecho means that you shall teach your children And it doesn't limit it only to children, but even ben chaveira, even others who are not children. So from here then we have a mitzvah that you're obligated with the same mitzvah to teach even ben chaveira. This is what the Rambam brings in the beginning of Hilchus Talmud Torah. The Rambam brings, "V'lei benoi uben benoi bilvad." Not only your son or your grandson are you obligated to teach. "Ela mitzvah al kol chochem v'chochem Yisrael." It's an obligation on every wise person of Israel. See, to teach you have to know. So therefore, it's a wisdom on every wise person of Israel. "Lelamed es kol ha-talmidim," to teach all disciples. "Afo pisha einu bonov," even though he is not his son. And he brings the source from what we said. So comes a new mitzvah then. Not only is a mitzvah v'shinantum levanecho, to teach your sons, but the same mitzvah is whenever you teach any son of Israel. There was a great gaon. His name was Rabbi Avrom Bornstein, Zecher Tzadik Lebrocha. He was known as the Sakachev. He was the Sakachev Rov, the Rov of Sakachev. Very, very great gaon. From the Gdeli Ador of a few generations ago. And he's very famous for his Forim, Shailas and Shubas, Avnei Nezer. He wrote another sefer called Eglei Tal. This was on Melech HaShabbos. It had to do with the works of Shabbos. In his Akdoma to Eglei Tal, in his introduction, he writes, he wrote this when he was an old man, he writes that he hadn't planned on writing any sefer. The Avnei Nezer that we have from him, which is a number of volumes of Shailas and Tshuvas of Rishpansa, that was written not by him, but that was written by his son, Reb Shmuel. It was his letters, his answers, his manuscripts, but he never published it. His son published it after his death. So in the Sefer Eglei Tal, he writes that he never had planned to write any Sefer. Because he said, Yofi Atznius. Chazal tell us, great is modesty. Great is one who keeps low profile. Even though he was world famous, very world famous, he was reckoned with the greatest sages of the generation, and a generation that was full of gigantic sages. And people wrote to him from all over the world, and he was rov of big communities in Poland. But he said he had in mind never to write any sefer, because Yofi Atznius. Chazal praised modesty and privacy. So why has he decided now to write a sefer? This was the Eglei Tal. He says, because the Torah says that one is obligated to teach Torah. This is a mitzvah's essay, a positive commandment from the greatest mitzvahs in the Torah. Until now, I was healthy enough to teach Talmidim. He was a Rov, but it was common in those days. Well, he didn't live that long ago. He lived right before the Second World War. Probably he was in before the Second, during the First World War, before the Second World War. He says, why? So why then? He says, till now. Also then, it was customary. There are many Rabbonim that had communities, but they always had a group of Talmidim, a small yeshiva, where they would learn with them. So he says, till now I was healthy enough to be able to fulfill this mitzvah of teaching Torah to Talmidim. But now, he says, unfortunately, my strength is giving away, and I'm not able to say shurim in the yeshiva. And I cannot fulfill this all-important mitzvah of Vishinantum Levanecho. Therefore, I have decided to write a sefer in order to continue to be able to fulfill this mitzvah. And that's why he wrote the sefer Eglei Tal in his older age. In order that he should still have this mitzvah of teaching Talmidim. So we've explained what does it mean vishinantum, and what does it mean libonecho. Now what does it mean vidibaltum bom, and you shall speak in these words. Rashi brings shelo ye ikad dibur, shelo ye ikad diburcho elabom. Asom Iker Valta Asim Tofel. That your main speech, or the speech that you teach your children, should be mainly born in these words, the words of Torah. Again, you shouldn't teach them as a something merely to fulfill the obligation, or something which is merely symbolic. You must learn with them and talk with them all of the time in Torah, wherever possible. When you are home, when you are on the way, when you get up, when you lay down, that their main words and their main thoughts should be in Torah. It's not possible for a person all the time to be studying Torah. Yes, true. He has many other things to do also. But as a matter of what is considered priority, what is considered first and what is considered second, what is considered secondary, that the importance should always be placed on the Torah that you teach him, or even by yourself on the Torah that you learn. This is what it means with the Baal Tom Bom. At the end of Parshas Ekev is brought the second Parsha of Krishma. And there also it states, V'limadete meisom es b'neichem. This is at the end of Parshas Ekev, Yud Aleph Yutes. V'limadete meisom es b'neichem, you shall teach your sons, l'daber bom, and to speak in these words. And again it says, V'shoch b'chov b'veisecho v'lechtecho v'aderech v'shoch b'chov kumecho. And there Rashi brings another sifri. When should you start teaching your son Torah? Mishosha ben yudei ledaber. As soon as your son starts to talk, lamdeu Torah, you teach him. What do you teach him? Torah tziva lona Moshe. You teach him the words Torah tziva lona Moshe. As soon as he's able to speak, Moshe commanded us the Torah. Why? She yezel limud diburai. In order that his first words should be in Torah. Mikan omruk shatinek maskele daber. From here we say that once the child starts to speak, oviv meisiach imay beloshin hakodesh, the father should start talking to him in loshin hakodesh. Umalam deitera. Bimleos akeinare kilu kevra. And if he doesn't, it's as if he destroys the child. The foundation of his speech, the foundation of his thoughts, should start with Divrei Torah. This is what the Sifri says. Our Gemara, the Shas Bavli, says similar to this, but a little different. The Gemara in Masechta Sukkah. The Gemara says at the end of Lulav HaGozel, Mem Beis, it says that every mitzvah you should teach the child when he's capable of fulfilling that mitzvah. For example, if he knows how to hold a lulav and an esrog and what to do with it, then you should educate him how to fulfill the mitzvah of lulav. The same thing with tzitzis. The same thing with tefillin. Once he's old enough to know what to do with tefillin and how to take care of the tefillin, then you educate him with the mitzvah of tefillin. Yedei ledaber, once he knows how to speak, oviv leim deitera, v'krishma. The father should teach him Torah and Krishma. Torah mai, what Torah should he teach him? How much Torah can the child learn? He only knows how to speak. Omer Rabam Nuna, Teretziva Lona Moshe, Marosha, Kielosh Yaakov. You teach him the posuk that Hashem, Torah, Moshe commanded us the Torah. From his earliest beginnings, he will know, it will become part of his nature, that Moshe has commanded us the Torah. Kielosh Yaakov, Marosha, Kielosh Yaakov, and it's an inheritance to the congregations of Yaakov. Krishma Mahi, and what Krishma do you teach him? Posuk Rishon. You teach him the posuk, Shema Yisrael. So this is the Loshen, this is what our Gemara says. Now from here we see two things. Firstly, that Torah must become a very major part of the child's life. Ledaber bom she'ikav le'tofel, that this should be his main preoccupation. And the other activities and the other undertakings, that is secondary. That, it's important. He has to, many things a person has to do. But that should take second priority. That's one thing we see. And secondly, right from the beginning when he starts to speak, that's when we should teach him this. Now, why is it important so early? The answer to this is there's a Gemara Masechta Shabbos, Daf Chof Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara is discussing the halachos of Chanukah, and Rav said, "Psilus Ushmonim Shomru Chachomim Ein Madlikin Ben B'Shabbos." The Chachomim said that there are certain wicks and certain oils which you cannot use for Shabbos because they do not burn well, and you might come to fix them on Shabbos while reading. You might come to fix them on Shabbos, and then you'll be, that's the malocha of mavir, you're causing something to burn on Shabbos. But Rav said manlikin ben b'chanukah, but you can still use these wicks and oils for Chanukah, bein b'chol, whether it's Chanukah during the week, bein b'Shabbos, or if it's Chanukah, Shabbos Chanukah. Omer Rabbi Yirmiya, so Rabbi Yirmiya said, my time with the Rav, what is the reasoning of Rav? K'sova kof sein zokot lo, because he holds that if you light the Chanukah candle, and then it goes out by itself, you do not have to relight it. So therefore we don't have to worry if it's not such a good wick and will go out, because you fulfill the mitzvah. So even if you don't relight it, you fulfill the mitzvah. And then he holds also l'shtamish la'era, that you're not allowed to use the Chanukah light for any personal use. So therefore we don't have to worry that on Shabbos Chanukah he might inadvertently fix it, because he's not using it. This is what Rabbi Yirmiya explained Rav's din. Amru Rabbonin Kameid Abaya. The Talmidim said this over to Abaya, Mishmeid Rabbi Yirmiya, in the name of Rabbi Yirmiya. Like Kibla, Abaya was not happy with this explanation, and Rabbi Yirmiya was important in Abaya's eyes, but he didn't hold him that much of a senior over himself. So therefore he didn't accept it, he rejected this explanation. Ki Osa Rabin, many years later, when the Rabin came from Eretz Yisrael, Amru Rabbonin Kameid Abaya. Then, Mishmeid Rabbi Yechanan. Then, the disciples found out that Rabbi Yechanan, who was the Rosh Hashiva in Eretz Yisrael, also said this halacha, and with this explanation. So they told Abaya this in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. He heard it from Rabbi, the great Rabbi Yechanan said this, Kiblo. So he accepted it immediately. But he said, Omar Isakoi Gemirta Lishmaitse Meikora. But he said that I didn't have the merit to accept this in the first place. Had I been Zakoi, if I would have been a more righteous person, then maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu would have given me the merit to accept this when it was told over to me the first time many years ago. So the Talmidim asked him, "Oh Gamro, but what's the difference if you accepted it then or you accepted it now? But now you've accepted it, now you know it. So what's the difference?" He says, "There's a big difference. Nafkemino legirso diankuso. There's a big difference in learning something in your youth or learning something in your old age." Rashi says, "Girso diankuso ilo haya isi zeichel leimda hayisi gorsi kishmaitzarishin." And I had the skus, I would have learned this many years ago. Because girso diankuso miskaim yesa mishal zikna. What you learn in your early age stays with you far better than what you learn in your later age. And it becomes more of a part of you far better than what you learn with than a later age. And therefore Abaya was upset. The source to this is a Mishnah Novus, Perek Dalet Mishnah Chof Aleph. Elisha ben Avuya Emir. Alemid Yeled Lemahu Demer. When you teach your child, what is this like? Demer Lejoy Ksuval Nir Chodosh. This is like ink being written on a new clean piece of paper. Alemid Zokin Lemahu Demer. When you teach an older person, what is this like? Demer Lejoy Ksuval Nir Mochek. This is like taking ink and writing on a piece of paper that is old with all types of erasures on it. The Maral explains that the mind, whatever goes into the mind, makes an imprint, makes a picture. Just like today we know we have computers with memories. Same thing, the mind. Anything that goes into the mind, especially if it's studied, is imprinted on the mind forever. But the question is how it's imprinted. And the wisdom that the Rebbe teaches a disciple, that's like ink. And that ink is going to make an imprint on the child's mind or on the person's mind. The child is near, it's a near chodosh. It's a new piece of paper. And therefore, it will make a very clear imprint. Crystal clear. And it can stay forever. But what goes into the mind of an older person, which is already like a piece of paper which has been used many times, and many things have been put there and taken off and put there and taken off, erasures and so forth, it won't have that clarity. Therefore, the Chazal tell us, it's not enough if a person, let's say a person will learn 5 years out of his life, if he learns those 5 years later. Naturally, whenever you learn, it's good. There's nothing better than learning. And a person is obligated to learn his entire life. It says, Le sosur mimenu. Aje meischo. See, until death. But the years of learning when a person is young is far superior. The quality that goes into the mind and retains there, the retention, than what he learns when he's older. And that's why Abaya was upset. See, naturally, it wasn't just a few words. This was a new derech. This was a new approach in understanding this whole halacha that naturally Abaya would have built an entire shir around. And he did it in his later years instead of his earlier years. And he was upset with that. And that's why the Torah was so persistent that when we teach, we must teach children at a very young age. Even when they start talking, tchilas diburei, their first talking should be, it should become chokuk, hewed in their minds from the minute they start talking, Torah tzivalon ha-Moshe. That the Torah Moshe gave us, it's an inheritance for called Yisrael. Or Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echot, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our God, He is one. This is the importance of Girsa D'Ankusa, of learning something in one's youth. Rashi also says, Rashi and Ovis says, that Joy Ksuval Nir Chodosh, ink, which is written on a new piece of paper. A new piece of paper has two advantages, the Maral says. One is it was never used before. And two is because it's new, so it's not smudged or smeared by people handling it. So ink that goes on a new piece of paper, so it attaches itself there strongly and never becomes erased, kach ha-leimid bi-yaldusein ha-shecheach le'ilam. Therefore, someone who learns in his youth, he never forgets that forever. This is the Girsa of the Angusa. It could be because of that we hear from so many old people that they tell you, they say it's a funny thing. This is common, they'll tell you. They say, what happened to me 50, 60 years ago, I can remember. But what happened to me last week, I can't remember. And that could be the reason. Because what was imprinted on their minds 50, 60, 70 years ago in their youth, that's clear. What becomes imprinted on one's mind in a later stage, though, is not so clear. A few other principles in this mitzvah. Now we said we dibalt vishinantum levonecho and we dibalt bom. So a few other principles is, even though we said that it's important to use the early stages of the child to teach him Torah, this doesn't mean, though, heaven forbid, that you should take a young child and overdo it with him. Notice the Gemara says when he starts to speak, it didn't say when he starts to speak, you take out Mesechtes Vochim with him, or Baba Kama with him, and you start learning Baba Kama. It didn't say that. It says when he starts to speak, Oviv, the Sifri used the Loshon Oviv Mesiach. It's interesting, the Sifri says Oviv Mesiach Imay Beloshon HaKodesh. Mesiach means talks. The father starts talking to him in Loshon HaKodesh. Our Shas doesn't bring Loshon HaKodesh, but the Sifri says the father starts talking with him. See? Didn't say you bring out a Masechta and the father sits down with him and they start learning Chavrusas. It's you start talking to him, and what should you talk? You tell him over a posuk, and you teach him a posuk, a few words, a word here, a word there, another posuk, Shema Yisrael, Torah Tzivalonu Meshe. But not, heaven forbid, to be machbid olov, to throw a heavy burden upon him, because the burden of the Torah is a very, very heavy burden. That only comes at a later stage, and that only comes when he's older. For example, the Mishnah Masecht Ovis in Perikei Mishnah Chof Aleph, it says Ben Chomesh Lemikro. He's not ready to learn Chumash till 5 years old, even though he can start speaking when he's two. You don't sit down and learn Chumash with him until he's five. Uben Esel Mishnah, and then Mishnah, he's only ready when he's 10 years old. Uben Chomesh Esrei Ligamora. And Gemara is only ready until he's 15 years old. This is what the Mishnah tells us in Masecht Ovis. Now, it's telling us a principle that learning must be done just like you build. You don't build a building without building a foundation. And you don't build the second floor without the first floor, and you don't build the third floor without the second floor. That's how learning must be done. And Chumash is the foundation for Mishnah. And Mishnah is the foundation for Gemara. And this is how it must be done. So, even though we are emphasizing, Torah emphasizes, that you must start learning with him when he's very young, but that's all kefi keichai, that's all in accordance to his ability. And all learning and all teaching must be done in accordance to their abilities. Fact is, the Gemara tells us in Baba Basra, the Chof Aleph, the Gemara brings, it says, it says, Machnisin Eiseike Ben Sheish Uke Ben Sheva, that you take a child who's about 6 or 7, and then you send him to the Cheder, to the Beis HaTalmud, to the school. Omelei Rav L'Rav Shmuel Bashilis. Rav said to Rav Shmuel Bashilis. Rav Shmuel Bashilis was a very famous Melamed, very wonderful teacher. And Rav told him, that if people send you their children when they're under 6 years old, send them back home. Don't accept them. They're too young. the Asfe lo Keturah. Once they're 6 years old, or seven, Kibar Sheish, or Kibar Sheva, then accept them, and then Asfe lo Keturah. Stuff them with Torah. It says, stuff them with Torah, like a farmer stuffs an ox that he wants to fatten up for the meat. But under 6 years old, he said, send them back, don't accept them. So you see, even more so. Actually, Tosfos asks there. Tosfos says, why six or seven? First he says, what does it mean, six or seven? He says, if it's a strong child. See, we must realize also, which is very important, unfortunately, because these principles are not guarded today, there are so many problems in education. Not every child matures physically, emotionally, or intellectually at the same speed. There are some earlier, some later. That's why the Gemara says, didn't give a time at 1 minute or 1 day. It says, about 6 years old, or about seven. So Tosfos says, what does that mean? If it's a strong child, if he's very mature, then at about six. If not, you wait later till about seven. Incidentally, many of these things are coming out recently in modern findings in the field of education. And it's very important, because if you start with a child who's not ready, not only does he lose everything that is being taught to him, but it can also hampers the child. It's very destructive to the child. It destroys his self-confidence, because he's used to not understanding. He can develop emotional problems from this. He becomes a loser, because he knows he's always the last in the class. And then even more so, what happens is that as he progresses up to a higher grade, and now he's capable of learning, he's missed all the foundations that he was supposed to get, and it causes serious educational problems. This is probably the most common educational problem that's found in schools today. And there are places, because of that, that are starting to up the level before they would accept some in other countries. But at any rate, Tosfos asks the question. He says, here it says six or seven. Why then in the Mishnah Avos does it say Ben Chomesh Lemikra? 5 years old for Chomesh? So, and there Tosfos answers. There it's speaking about someone who's very mature. See? Very mature. So even according to Tosfos, he doesn't talk about someone under five. The mature child at six. The lesser mature child at seven. Someone who's extraordinarily mature, he's at five. That's what Tosfos says. The Maral comes along and disagrees. He says, no. He says, the Gemara says, under six you shouldn't accept him in school. Even a mature child. So he says, so what does it mean, Ben Chomesh Lemikra? He says, there it's not talking about school. There it's talking about home, where the father's teaching him. He says, where the father teaches the child, like the father's supposed to start teaching the child as soon as he speaks. And he teaches him a little Loshon HaKodesh, and teaches him a little Psukim, and then he starts to teach him a little davening and so forth. There it says, when do they start learning Chumash? That's at 5 years old, but that's by the father. Because when he's at home, and the father teaches him, first of all, it's private lessons. It's not a classroom discipline. He does not have to conform. And secondly, if he tells the father he's tired, so he's tired. But to send him to a school, he says, away from home, and there where they learn the entire day, he says, that's not until six or seven, like the Shah says. And that's how it's mavur from the Rambam. The Rambam brings Meshivin Malam de Tinekis Behol Medina Medina Behol Plach Behol Yevir, that the community has to provide Malamdim, teachers, in all places for children. Machnisin Esatinekis Lislamit Kiben Sheish Kiben Sheva, and you bring the child in to learn when he's about 6 or 7 years old, if he keach haben, in accordance to the health of the child, ubinyan gufay, in accordance to his physical structure. Pachus mi ben sheish eimach nisin esrei. And if he's less than six, then you don't send him to school. So this is that even though you must start at the very early stages, but nevertheless, in all learning that is done with a child, or all learning that is done with anyone, must always be in accordance to his ability, and not more than his ability. Otherwise, from there will come great churban, great destruction. In addition to this, why this is necessary is because the Chazal tell us that Ein HaTeira Nikne Ela BiYishuv. Torah can only be acquired, become a part of you, BiYishuv, when a person is relaxed. He's relaxed and he's comfortable. And BeSimcha, if he's rejoicing. In the Memcha, in the Mishnah Ovis, which states the Memchas Dvorim Shateira Niknas Behem, 48 qualities that a person needs to become great in Torah. There one is Yishuv, that he has to learn without undue pressure. And two is Simcha, that he has to be happy when he's learning. Now this is only possible when he's learning something that he's capable of understanding. But when you try to learn something which is beyond you, this is for an adult, and surely for a child, then that's not Yishuv, that's not with undue pressure. There you have a Rebbe trying to beat into the kid something that he's not capable of understanding, or he's teaching them a Gemara that is so complicated for him that the more he teaches him, the more confused the child gets. So that is not Yishuv, and that is not Simcha. How can he have Simcha from that? The Simchas HaTorah comes from the light of Torah. The light of Torah comes from the understanding and clarity, not from the confusion of Torah. From there comes Cheshach. This is another reason why we see so much frustration in these fields. People, many times they go to yeshivas and they're learning things beyond them, and they become frustrated, they become broken, and they become depressed. The Vilna Gaon, and who knew better than the Vilna Gaon, who went into the highest levels of Torah in the past 200-300 years, in the Vilna Gaon, and he himself consistently always wrote, he says, when you learn with the children, he says, learn with them benachas ubi yishuv. Don't over, even though the Gemara says you have to work them, but work is not contradictory to simcha. People can be very happy when they're working. You have to work them hard, but it must be with a joy, and it must be without undue over pressurization, without overdue stress. He says, because she'ena tera nignele b'yishuv. Torah, you want Torah, then you cannot put yourself in too much of a pressurized situation. Then he wrote, but what happens then if the child won't learn? You know, a horse, he won't go, so you beat him. A donkey won't go, you beat him. He won't go, you beat him more. Well, that's good to get a donkey moving, but that's not good to learn Torah that way. Won't go, it won't work. So he says, what should you do? So he says, you bribe the children. This is what the Vilna Gaon writes. You bribe them. Promise them that if they'll do this, they'll get a coin, they'll get two coins, they'll get this to eat and drink. Then they're motivated by themselves. They're learning not because you're pushing them, but because they decided they want to learn. So this is very important in the Ofen Halimud. Now, also what's important is when you teach Torah, from one aspect there must be a very strong discipline. Firstly, if there's no discipline, then there's chaos. In a school there has to be, or a classroom, there has to be discipline. But secondly, the child has to learn that, just like we said from the Memches Dvorim, the qualities that it takes to acquire Torah, there must be simcha and nachas. One, it also states there, you have to have yira ve'ema. That when one learns, he has to have the greatest respect. In any area, a person has to have a great respect, even in football. If a person in football doesn't have respect for his coach, he won't get very far. Or in soccer. You have to respect anyone that's teaching you, or especially anyone that's older than you, or even your teammates. But in Torah, there must be the extra dimension, a super dimension of respect and awe, because we're learning Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And like we mentioned from the Rambam, you're obligated to have an extra dimension of respect and awe for your Rebbe who's teaching you Torah. Anyone who learns Torah and does not have respect for Torah, this person will never succeed in Torah. The fact is that Rambam brings from the Gemara of Eretz Yisrael, this is in beginning of Perek Dalet, in Melamdin Tere El Talmid Hogum Noah B'Maisov. We're not even allowed to teach Torah to someone who has no respect. A person comes in and he's a loud, boisterous person that has no respect for his Rebbe, and he has no respect for his fellow people, and he has no respect for Torah, and he says, hey, I want to learn, and so forth and so on. You throw him out of the base of Medrash. That's the halacha. You don't teach Torah to anyone that comes in. Only to a Talmud who is a good person. And Noah B'Maisov, who is Noah B'Maisov, means who has a beautiful personality, a beautiful character. A person comes in and you see that he's polite, he says Shalom Aleichem, and he has respect, except he's never learned. Oh, there's a mitzvah, a great mitzvah, to teach that person Torah. But if he comes in and he's disrespectful and he's boisterous, he's not a mensch, now, he says, you're not allowed to teach him Torah. You teach Torah only to someone who's Hogul Noah B'Maisov. He has a beautiful character, a beautiful personality, or the Tam, or someone who's a simple person. He's a good person, but he's simple, he doesn't know any better. There it's a mitzvah. But if he's a person that's not a good person, then it's a mitzvah to try to improve him, but not to teach him Torah. First you try to improve him. Then afterwards you bring him into the base of Medrash and teach him Torah. And the Gemara says that whoever gives Torah to a person who has no respect for Torah, that's the same as giving honor to a fool. Or that's the same as the Gemara says, Nasi l'ksil kovid, or throwing something to idolatry. Because Torah is from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Torah is the most precious product that came into this world. Would you take the most beautiful gold and waste it in the street? The most beautiful jewels? So Torah is for everyone, but that person has to realize what it is. That's why it's very important, even more important, that when one teaches Torah, that he disciplines children or whoever's learning, that they must have the appropriate respect for what they're learning and for the Rebbe that's teaching it to them. So therefore, discipline is very, very important. And the Gemara brings this. But on the other hand, a balance must be found also that the Rebbe, it states, firstly, like we mentioned before, you can't over-pressurize the child. You must pressure him, but not too much. But secondly, it states, Lei derech hakzorius. The Rebbe is not allowed to be cruel to the child. This has to be a wonderful, pleasant experience for him. So you can't be cruel. Or it states, Ein hakaisin malamed. If the Rebbe is someone who has a quick temper and is impatient, then that's not a good malamed. He has to have a lot of patience and not be quick-tempered. And he must be careful not to intimidate the child, over-intimidate him, to cause him to withdraw into himself, to cut him down. Why? Because it states in the Mishnah and others, Ein Abayshin Lemed, that someone who is very bashful and shy will not learn Torah. Then the Maral asks, he says, what does that mean? Someone who's very shy and bashful will not learn Torah. So generally we mean, because if you're too bashful to ask, you'll never know. Therefore you have to open your mouth and ask. The Maral says that everyone knows. We don't need the great Tanoim of the Mishnas to tell us that. That if you're too bashful to ask, you won't know. So what does it mean, Ein Abayshin Lemed? He says something very profound. To come to Torah, to the wisdom of Torah, you are coming to the ultimate of truth. Ein emes keteres Hashem. There is no truth like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. To come to the ultimate of truth, you need the quality of Azus, of the courage of a leopard and a lion, to come to the quality of truth. Because who can come to the quality of truth? Only someone who has an unbending determination to pursue the truth and is not intimidated and afraid of anyone. Like it states by the Dayonim. By the Dayonim and the judges of Klal Yisrael, when they had to give a verdict, it says, Lei sogurim ibnayish. They must not be afraid of anyone. They couldn't be afraid of the wealthy, they couldn't be afraid of the poor. They were not even allowed to be afraid of other sages, because their opinions must be totally objective, because to come to the ultimate truth, that means ultimate objectivity. If I'm worried, what's this one going to say, or what's that one going to say, that already is the end of the truth, that distorts the truth. Fact is, there was a halacha that when there's a group of sages sitting together, rendering a verdict, and they debate and argue the case, and now it comes time for each of them to give their opinions, the youngest one gives his opinion first. Why? In order that he shouldn't be intimidated or influenced by the older one's opinion. We want his opinion, not the older one's opinion. So therefore he gives first, and then the older one, in order that it should be totally objective. So to come to great levels in Torah, you need unending pursuit, determination, and you have to be free of fear and intimidation from anyone or anything. This is why the Torah is called Eshtas, a fire. There's nothing as determined as a fire, because a fire consumes everything in its path, doesn't back up from anything. And this is the determination that a student needs. That's what the sages are telling us, Le Habayshin Le Meid. The shy one is just the opposite. The shy one is always backing up. So he's afraid. He's influenced. He's intimidated. He's always backing up. Ein Habayshin Le Meid. So therefore, it's very important not to destroy this self-determination, or this quest, or this creativity in a child. And unfortunately, in today's educational systems, many do become destroyed. Because if the teacher, the malamed, will be mashtikim, if he'll silence him, if he'll tell him to keep quiet, or don't ask so many questions, where the child says, this is the way it should be, and the teacher says, don't argue with me. What I say is right, and you don't have to know any further. He is killing that quality in that child. In the Litvische Chadorim, or in the Litvische Yeshivas, it was common that when the Rosh Yeshivas would come around to examine the students, they weren't happy. And the questions were asked, those that gave the normal, regular answers, yeah, they were happy. But what made them more happy is when they could see some creativity. They could see some free thinking, that someone is using his mind to say something that is beyond the run-of-the-mill, that it took some motivation and hard thinking to come to it, and he's not influenced by the trends of thoughts of everyone else. This is what they were looking for, because they knew that. Because that shows the potential of a great Talmud Chacham. And the whole Gemara is like that. The whole Gemara is like that. That no matter what someone said, if it's not right, it's immediately challenged. And that challenger will not withdraw his arguments until he's satisfied. Until you've satisfied him. So therefore, even though there has to be the discipline in the Derech Eretz, at the same time, though, there has to be a lot of room given for the development of creativity and determination. Just one or two final short quick points. That is the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, Mitzvah Yud Beis, Mitzvah Essay Yud Beis, tells us something very interesting. He says, Mitzvah Essay Yud Aleph, he says, he should tzivonu lilmei teiru lamdei v'zehu anikra Talmud Torah. Generally we think there are two mitzvahs. There's one mitzvah of studying Torah and another mitzvah of teaching Torah. The Rambam says no. It's one mitzvah. V'hi anikras Talmud Torah. The mitzvah of Torah, of learning Torah, he says, has two parts to it. One is to teach Torah. One is to learn Torah, and the other is to teach Torah. And together this is called Talmud Torah. What is the Rambam telling us? Someone who learns Torah, but he doesn't teach Torah, he's lacking in the mitzvah of learning Torah. Someone who teaches Torah is fulfilling the mitzvah also of learning Torah. It's one mitzvah. And the mitzvah is to learn and to teach. That's one point. Another point, which is important to know, is that the mitzvah of teaching Torah to children is different than almost all other. It is very unique. Because we're all familiar that you take a child and you teach him mitzvahs. For example, like we said, you put tzitzis on him and you have him make a brocha. You give him a fruit and you have him make a brocha. You teach him how to daven. You teach him how to sit in a sukkah. You teach him how to come to shul. And so forth. All of these mitzvahs, this is what is known as chinuch. Chinuch mitzvahs, to educate him in mitzvahs. All of this is only midrabonan. The obligation to educate a child in mitzvahs is not min haTorah, because a child is not obligated to do any mitzvahs before he's 13. A boy 13 and a girl 12. There is no obligation on the child to do any mitzvahs before the age of 12 or 13. And there is no obligation in the Torah to have the father should have him do any mitzvahs before he's 12 or 13. This, that we educate them and train them in mitzvahs, this was a commandment from the sages. The exception to this is the study of Torah. There min haTorah, the father is obligated to teach the Torah, as we said. This would mean that when you sit and teach Torah to a child, you're teaching them Chumash. You're fulfilling a mitzvah in a Torah. But while you're training the child how to daven, or how to put on tzitzis, or how to make matzah for Pesach, you are not fulfilling a mitzvah in a Torah. That is only from the Rabbonan. And so therefore this is very important to know for priorities. Actually, one can wonder, why is it that the Torah did not obligate a child to do any mitzvahs, but nevertheless it made it incumbent upon his father to teach him Torah while he's still a child? It's a question. Actually, a good answer from that I heard once from our dear Talmud Stephen Jowitz. I don't know if he remembers that he told me this. The Gemara says that La'elam HaTalmud Koidim Sha'atalmud Mevi Lidei Maiso, that always study should come before the actual doing, because studying you should always give priority to, because study brings you to the doing. So just like in an adult, we should give priority to study, because that will bring us to deeds. The same thing, the Torah commanded that a child should study Torah first before he comes to deeds. The age of studying is from the time he can start studying, when he's still a cotton, a minor. The age of deeds is only when he's 13, or a girl 12 years old, when he becomes a major. Because the level of study comes before the level of deeds. This is a very, very good answer, and this is how it's implied from the Rambam in Perek Aleph, Halacha Gimel, of Mitzvah Talmud Torah. Then finally, I would just like to quote from the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos. The Gemara brings, it's on Daf Kuf Yutes Amud Beis. The Gemara brings the importance of this mitzvah. It states, "Al tigu v'omar of Yudom Arav, ma'idik siv al tigu v'mshichoy uv'nviyay al toreu. Al tigu v'mshichoy, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, do not touch my anointed ones. Elu tinei kishil beis rabon. Those are the children that study in the chadorim, in the schools. They are called the anointed ones, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, be careful, do not touch them. In other words, do not harm them. Omer Eishlokish Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nesia Eino Eilam Miskayim Ela Bishvil Hevel Tinei Kishil Beis Rabban. The world exists because of the words of Torah which comes from the breath of the children who are sitting by their teacher in their school. Omer Le Rapopo Labaya. So Rapopo, when he heard this, was upset. He says, why do you say that the world exists because of the words of Torah that come from the mouth of the children by Beis Rabban? He said, what about my words of Torah? Why do you give priority to the children? See, when Papa heard that, he was upset. So he says, Didi v'didok mai, what about me and you? Amalei, so he answered him. He says, no. He says, their words are better. Why? Because their words are coming from a mouth that has not tasted sin yet. Children who are minors are not held responsible for chet, for sin. So they are representing words of Torah in the ultimate of purity that are coming from the mouths of the innocent ones. And on that the world exists. He says, but you and me, see, this would Abai answer of Papa. See, but you and me, he says, oh, good, our Torah is very great. We also help. But unfortunately, we have already tasted sin. So therefore, it's not the same. So he said, don't feel so badly. Reish Lakish, Vama Reish Lakish, Mishum Rebbeinu Nesuei, and Mevatlin Tenegei Shel Beis Rabban, Afilu LeBinyan Beis Hamikdash. Even when it comes time for the building, the rebuilding of the Beis Hamikdash, and then we have to draft everyone to come and help rebuild the Beis Hamikdash. The Malamdin, the teachers, the Torah instructors, we won't be able to take, because they are not allowed to cause a disruption to their classes. V'amar Reish Lakish LeBiyud HaNasiya, Kach Mekublani Me'Avosei V'Amri Lo Me'Avosecha. And Reish Lakish says to LeBiyud HaNasiya, he says, this is what I learned by my fathers or my grandfathers or by your fathers. Kol Ir Shein Beitin Egeshul Beis Rabban Machrivin Eisai. If a city does not have a school which is teaching Torah to the children, then you destroy it. And Avinu Omar Machrivin Eisai. And Avinu Omar Machrivin Eisai, which means Machrivin means you partially destroy it. Machrivin means you totally destroy it. If there's a city that has Jewish children and there's not a facility there for them to study Torah, then that city deserves to be destroyed. This is some insights into this mitzvah of Vishignantum Levanecho, which is a cornerstone to our entire nation.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.